family service so the young people are going to stay with us. So in a moment, kids, I'm going to play a little video, okay, just for you. And as we usually do when I play videos, I want you to pay attention, because I'm going to be asking you some questions. Yes, so you have to pay attention. And this is how it's going to work. I'm going to ask the children the questions. Then if they don't get the answer, right, then youth, you get to play for bonus points, for a gold coin. If the youth don't get the answer right, then moms and dads and adults, you guys get to play. Now, if you don't get the answer right, I get to eat the chocolate. So I've put a whole series of chains so that I can avoid eating chocolate. Okay. Could you help me? So like I said, I'm going to play the clip. We'll see. Hopefully the sound comes through. And then we'll have a little quiz. And then we'll see as we go for the rest of the service. Who's doing what? Use the radio mic. Been told off. Mic test. Ah, there we go. Praise God. Okay, now let's see if we've got audio coming out of there. So hopefully, if I click on here, it should come through. Yeah, it didn't. So you can click. All right, wait. 1 second. It wouldn't be church without technical difficulty. Ah, aha, are you listening?
It was almost time for the Passover festival, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. Temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and pigeons, and also the money changers sitting at their tables. Whip from cords and drove all the animals out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He overturned the tables of the money changers. Scattered their coins. Yeah! And he ordered those who sold pigeons,
take them out of here! Stop making my father's house a marketplace!
His disciples remembered that the scripture says, "My devotion to your house, O God, burns in me like a fire." The Jewish authorities came back at him with a question.
What miracle can you perform to show us that you have the right to do this?
Tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will build it again.
Are you going to build it again in 3 days?
It has taken 46 years to build this temple.
But the temple Jesus was speaking about was his body. So when he was raised from death, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and what Jesus had said.
Okay. Oh, wait. Yeah. So, are you ready, kids? Let me show you the chocolate. Maybe that'll get you going, right? Where's the chocolate? Show them the chocolate. So you get a chocolate, you get a gold coin if you can answer the question correctly, okay? So, like I said, it starts with the children, then it moves up the ranks. So, children, first question. Jesus went to Jerusalem, but why did he go to Jerusalem? Oh, we had hand come up here. Why did he go to Jerusalem? Yes. It was nearly time for the Passover. It's correct. That was correct. I can see that you're holding a Bible there. Did you actually praise? Well, if he's reading it, praise God. I want points for that. Hallelujah. Okay. Question two. What were people selling in the temple? You've got to put your hand up real quick.
They were selling peaches.
They were selling pigeons. That is correct. What else were they selling? Cattle and sheep. That is correct. Okay. Now, it starts to get a little bit harder, kids, okay? Question four. Who were the people sitting at those little tables? I see a hand way at the back. Stand up, yeah, stand up and shout it out. Is that Avio Aniela? Shout it louder. Did she say money changers? Correct. There were money changers. Okay. Now, it made Jesus really angry. There are a few times you see Jesus that angry. It made him so angry, he went and he made a whip. But the question is, what was the whip made out of? It wasn't horse hair. That would have been a painful whip. A very painful whip. What was the whip made out of? Any children? Weeds? No. He said rope. The correct answer is cords, which is... Is that, will we take that, church? All right, correct. Well done. It was made out of rope. Correct. Well done. All right. Now, he made the whip, drove everybody out, and then he scattered something everywhere. What was it that he scattered? Oh, which hand? You need to help me see what hand goes up first. Okay. Tizangi. What did he say? Change. I'd take that because it was their change. It was their coins. I will have to take that. Well played. Okay, a couple more. What did Jesus say? So he drove everyone out, flogged all the sheep and cattle, and then he turned around and says, "You have made my..." What did he actually say? Yes. Not what I was looking... He can get a gold coin, but it's not what I was looking for. Who hasn't answered? I need someone that hasn't answered. Who hasn't answered? Go on, Harvey. Huh? He said something about my father's house. That is correct. But what did he say? He said, "You have made my father's house..." Yes. "A marketplace." That is correct. "You have made my father's house a marketplace." Okay, last couple. And then the religious leaders came running down with their gowns and everything. And they were like, "How dare you?" And they said, what did they say to him? What did they say to him? They asked him a question. What question did they ask? Go on. I'm looking for someone that hasn't answered a question before I come back to the guys that already have. Yeah, yeah. What did their religious leaders ask Jesus? Close, but not what I was looking for. Yes. What did they say? They said, "What miracle can you perform to demonstrate that you have the right to do this?" Correct. Correct. And then Jesus answered. What did Jesus answer? Wow, that was very good. That was very, very good. You get a gold coin, definitely. He said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days." And he was actually, I think you get bonus points for that because you answered two questions there. Because he was actually, because that is actually one of the questions that I've got down here. So what temple was Jesus speaking about? His body. So you got that as well. Well played, well played. Okay. Last question. The guy was very angry and he said, 3 days? It's taken, how many years did he say it had taken to? the people at the back are going to burst if I don't ask them. Okay, after three, all shout it out together. How many years?
46.
You all get a cold coin. Praise God, well done. Yeah, you'll have to sort that out. I'll leave you to sort that out. You can get a gold coin at the end. Amen. Amen. Right, let me reposition myself a little bit. This morning, really, I know that our time's gone. But really, what I felt the Lord really just wanted to communicate this morning is that the Lord really does want to spend time with you. It really is that simple. He really does want to spend time with you. It made Jesus angry when he came to the temple, and instead of the focus being sacred space, instead of the focus being holy space, instead of the temple being a place of worship, a place of stillness, a place where the name of the Lord is honored, it was a marketplace. It was just a complete mess. I don't know if we have the second slide up, because if we read it from, I see if it works from here. Oh, yeah. This is Mark's account. What you watch was from John's gospel, and it's John that tells us that they asked him about destroying the temple. But this is Mark's account. It says, so they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple, began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. He overturned the tables, the money changers, and the seats of those who sold doves. He would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple because they were just using it as a shortcut to like get to the other side of town. They didn't care about worship or what was going on. They just wanted to get to the other side of town, and that really annoyed him. He would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But what have you turned it into? What have we turned it into?" But you see, he wasn't just talking about the physical structure. When they asked him, "What sign are you going to show us?" he talked about, what did he talk about? His body. Do you know that the Bible says that you are also the temple of God? In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And then it has a very scary thing that we don't like to read because it messes with our theology of salvation. Because it says, "For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." I cut it off, but the rest of it, if you read it, says God will destroy those. Oh, it's right there. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy them. We don't like to read that. See, I couldn't even quite get my head around that because it's scary. Because God gets angry when his temple is defiled. But if you're the temple of God, what does that mean for you? What does that mean for you? just want you to think about this. Ask the person next to you, did you know that you're the temple of God? Did you know? Because for somebody, this is a revelation. For somebody, this is the first time that you've actually come across this concept. So genuinely, have a conversation, 2 minutes. Did you know that you're the temple of God? Okay? Now, if that's the case, that you're the temple of God, how should this awareness affect how you live in your body? This is the bit where you guys get to talk to each other. So if you haven't said hello to the person next to you, how rude. How rude. Say hello, introduce yourself, and have a conversation. Don't look at me, have a conversation. How should this awareness affect you? Does it affect how you dress? Does it affect what you listen to? How does it affect you, this awareness, this knowledge? Just give me some feedback. What did the person next to you say to you? Any volunteers? I'll take a couple from here, a couple from there. Any volunteers from this side of the camp, how does this awareness that you're the temple of God, how does it affect you? What does it affect? Everything you do. It's everything. From this side, do we have an advance on everything? We've got a hand up. How does it affect your awareness?
You don't sin.
We've got another chocolate. That's fantastic. That is the 100-point answer right there. You don't sin. Because Jesus just doesn't like that. You don't sin. Any advances? How does it affect you? How you behave? Whatever comes in and goes out. One more from this camp. Yes.
Obey God's word.
Again, 100-point answer. You obey. You don't live in disobedience. But the problem is, we've run out of chocolate. But don't say that in the middle. I'm giving promises out here, and you're telling me that we've run out of chocolate. Do you know what I mean? And there was one on that side. What was I saying? The awareness. Do you live with this awareness? See, because we compartmentalize. We compartmentalize. So on Sunday, we put on our holy garments. We put on our holy garments. And then for the rest of the week, when we're at work, it just doesn't matter. How we speak to our colleagues. When we're turning up late or whatever it is, the shenanigans that go on that everyone else is doing in the office place, you join in with all the shenanigans. Or at school, when your school friends are effing and blinding and watching stuff and doing all that kind of nonsense, you just join in and jump in with them. But what the Bible is saying, do you not know? It was a question. Do you not know that actually you are a walking, talking, mobile, sacred space that God wants to inhabit? Which means, and this is me confessing my own sin, you don't have a day off. I've had these conversations with God. I just want a day off. I just want a day when I can sit and do my own thing. Again, the Bible says, confess your sins and you shall be healed, right? So I receive my healing. I receive my healing in Jesus' name. But it's true, because there are times that we think, well, it's a Friday night, so all bets are off now, because no one from church is around, so, hey, I'm at work, nobody knows me, so I can boogie down, you know, but that's not how God sees it. When you came to Jesus, he made a covenant with you that he would never leave. He would never leave. It's not a threat, by the way. I know I said that in a way that made it sound like it's a blessing. Because he wants that sacred space. He wants that holy space. He genuinely wants to meet with you and talk with you and share with you and fill you with joy and peace and love. Like, genuinely, that was the deal. That is the deal. If you read the Bible all through from the beginning, from Genesis, he wanted to walk with them. With the Israelites, he wanted to be in the midst of them. When you had kings, his glory filled the temple so that he can be in the midst of his people. And when you get into the New Testament, Jesus said it's a promise. He has promised this, that his Holy Spirit will be with you and that you would be filled with power. You would become his witnesses so that everybody that sees you and everybody that meets you knows that you have been with the living God. So that everybody that contacts you, that comes into contact with you, comes into contact with the power of the living God. So that everyone that you walk past brushes against the love of the living God. So that you're carrying the peace of God as you walk. So when you enter your workplace, by virtue of you being there, the peace of God should begin creating a sacred space. So that when you go into school with your teachers and your friends and you're on the school playground, the holiness of God should be represented in that space without you saying anything. Without you saying anything. That's the power of his presence. And that was the promise. That the power of his presence would be with you. And it's not just for the adults. They said it was for the children. Young girls and young boys. That's the promise. The problem. Do you know, there are a lot of sheep and goat in this world. The problem is the worldliness of the world, if I can say it that way. The problem is there are things that come into our lives. See, we're supposed to be filled with the power and the presence of God so that we carry a fragrance. We carry a sacred fragrance, like incense, a spiritual fragrance. When Jesus walked into the temple on that day, what would have been the first thing that he smelled? Anybody shout it out? What would have been the first thing he smelled? Anybody, just shout it out. Animals. When cows eat a lot, what do? They burp, correct. They burp. Imagine it though, that you're walking up to meet God. This is supposed to be a sacred, holy space. It's a hot day, like it's really hot. I don't know if you've ever put bins in your back garden on a hot summer's day and you forgot to take them out. The stench that comes out of it. Imagine walking up to the temple and all these cattle have been there all week, feeding naturally. You see where I'm going with this? It would have been offensive. This is supposed to be something that the fragrance of the incense of holiness. But if Jesus is saying the temple is a reflection of our lives, what is the smell? Do you see what I mean? What is the smell that your life gives off? The thing that's causing that smell? Jesus doesn't like it. He'll make a whip. Because he doesn't want that thing in your life. Because you're meant to be a walking, talking, sacred space. You're meant to be a vessel that holds the power and the presence of God. It's supposed to affect what you watch. It's supposed to affect what you eat and how you eat, how you dress, how you talk, how you behave. It's supposed to affect what the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning, and it's supposed to affect the last thing you do when you go out at night. It's supposed to affect the people that you come into contact with. Jesus would walk into a room and demons would just start screaming and manifesting and just looking for an exit. He hasn't even said anything. Because the power of the presence, the power of the holiness,
The power of the love. The power. Jesus would walk in and people would say, I perceive that you're a prophet. Because there was just this power emanating out of him. People would touch the edge, the very edge of his garment. Bang! And they're healed. And he said, what came out of him? Power. The promise that is for you. The promise that is for your children. The promise that is for your children's children. The promise that is for anyone who believes is this same power that raised Jesus from the dead is yours by right. By right. Anyone who is a child of God, born of God, has the right to be called children of God. And if you are children of the Son of God, you have the right by the blood of the covenant to be filled with the power of God. That is the portion. That is your portion. Last question. When was the last time we sang songs about your presence is heaven to me? When was the last time you intentionally, deliberately went before Jesus to be with him? The title of my sermon is He Welcome? That was the title, Is He Welcome? Because as I was preparing this, I got challenged because I felt the Lord say, but I'm not welcomed. And that's why I started this service by asking the question, is he welcome in his house? Because if you are the house of God, if you are the temple of God, have you realized the times that you say to him that he's not welcome? Have you realized that the doors are shut? Have you realized you don't want him to make that whip? Have you realized? And I ask again, is he welcome into his house? Is he welcome into his temple? That's the question, because he so wants to dwell in us. He so wants to fill us with his presence and his power. And he would say, but Mike, I'm not welcome. How can you not be welcome? How can you not be welcome in your own house? Have you seen the cattle? Have you seen the goat and the sheep? Have you seen the money changers? They're all concerned about money and extortion and gain. Have you seen the mess that's on the floor? They know that I want to meet them, but they don't tidy up. They don't vacuum the house. They don't prepare a meal. I told you the story, and I'm going to end with this. The Pharisee invited Jesus to his house. If you read that story, you see that that Pharisee wasn't so much interested in what Jesus was teaching. That Pharisee wasn't interested in becoming like Jesus. He wanted the prestige that came by saying, hey, everybody come and see. Come, look at me. I'm important. He didn't welcome Jesus because in that culture, what you would do is you would get water because the person would have walked to your house in the hot sun on dusty roads. It would have been common courtesy to say, let me just wash your feet. When Jesus comes, sometimes we give him 5 minutes and that's it. Like literally, that's it. And that's when we're driving. And the 5 minutes is, Lord, please let the light be green. Please let the light be green. Please let the light be green. Whoosh. And that was it. That's me and Jesus for the day. Jesus said to the guy, I came to your house, but you didn't welcome me. The common courtesy, honoring my presence, you didn't. You didn't anoint my head with oil. You didn't honor who I, you didn't give me that honor and that headship. But you say you want him. Is he welcome in his house? Is he welcome in his temple? If he came and says, I want to be with you, would you clean house? Would you bow and wash his feet? Would you honor his head and exalt and glorify him? Would you keep it as a sacred space? He He said, my house shall be a house of prayer. Prayer is you talking to Jesus. That's half of prayer. The other half of prayer is you listening to Jesus. That's the second half of prayer. Mike, I'm not welcome there. What do you mean you're not welcome? They don't talk to me. Imagine inviting someone to your house and then not talking to them. Imagine saying, come to my house. And then when the person knocks, you open the door and just walk in and sit down and carry on watching Netflix. And you just don't talk to them. That says to the person, you're not welcome in my house. It's so rude. It would be incredibly rude to do that to somebody. I'm not welcome, Mike, because they don't talk to me. But then we sing songs like, your presence is heaven to me. We say, King of glory, fill this place. I just want to be with you. But then in our practice, he's not really welcome, because the awareness is that this is not just for Sunday. This is for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and Monday and you are a holy space, but is the Lord welcome? I'm going to finish, and I'm just going to ask the band to come up. We'll do one song, because I just want you guys to pray. I know our time's gone, forgive me. I can't let you leave before I give you the opportunity to come before the Holy Spirit. The songs that we've sang leading up to this point, we sang. But now don't sing this song unless you mean it. Don't sing this song unless now you understand what it means that you're saying. When you say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Understand what he wants of his house. My house shall be a place of prayer, a place of worship, a holy place, a consecrated place, a sacred place. If that is who you want to be, then ask him to come in. Ask him to come and fill you. So we're just going to present ourselves to the Lord. And I just want you to begin to pray. You know the cattle, the mess that's in your own life. Come to the cross of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in Jesus, now is the moment to come before the cross and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. The Bible says anyone who says that they have not sinned is a liar and the truth of God is not in them. So all of us need to come before the cross of Jesus Christ and just say, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me because I haven't had that awareness. Forgive me, Lord God. When I take the sacred into the secular and profane it, Lord God, forgive me, Lord God. My house shall be a house of prayer, but you have turned it. Father, forgive me for what I have turned it into. Forgive me when I haven't kept it as a place of worship, kept it as a place of honor, kept it as a place where your name is exalted, oh God. Forgive me, Lord God. And ask the Holy Spirit to come and clean. Holy Spirit, show me what I need to clean. Show me what defiles me. Show me, oh Holy Spirit, what you don't want in my life. Show me what makes me unholy. Show me the sin, Lord God. And would you come and cleanse me? Would you come and cleanse me?
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare your olive in bloom. Your presence. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes and my shame is undone. In your presence, now welcome him into your life. Holy Spirit, you are just open your heart to Jesus. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill me again? Would you come and make me that sacred place? Would you come and make me that place where your power dwells, Lord God? Oh, Holy Spirit, would you come and encounter me again? Would you come and set me apart, Lord God? Make me that place of worship, that place of prayer, Almighty God, that exalts your name and bears witness. Holy Spirit, come and fill us again, Lord God. Come and fill us again, oh God. We present ourselves to you, Lord God, to be clean, to be holy, to be sacred, Almighty God, for you and for no one else, Lord God. Oh, come and fill us. Holy Spirit. Last time, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is all our hearts long for, to be
Spirit, we present ourselves to you again. Lord Jesus, we present ourselves to you again. You are our God and we are your people. Keep us walking in holiness. Keep us with the awareness that we are sacred space. Holy Spirit, come and fill us with your power, with your presence, with your peace, with your joy, so that wherever we may go, people will know that we have met with the living God. And they will be changed. So bless us with this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
The Lord bless you guys. Have a fantastic week. God bless you.